I think it's very appropriate that the fourth element of the blessing in the sermon series fell on picturing a special future. And I think how appropriate that's obviously on graduation Sunday. And Mary Ashford and Maggie, you know this, but God has a special future for you going forward. I want to spend a few minutes this morning and look at someone in the Bible who had a unique future in store. I want to look at that through the lens of graduation and what that means to you this morning and this milestone in your life. And so I want to encourage you, Mary Ashford and Maggie, but also challenge you as you go forward. So let's jump in. In Genesis 37, we see a guy who had a very special future. He started out being sold into slavery and then ended up being second in command in Egypt. So that's Joseph. I would say that's a pretty special future. For the sake of time, I want to skim through and look at just three things that speak to this time in Joseph's life, but also this time in your life. I also, on a side note, find it very interesting that one of the first things we find out about Joseph is that he was 17 years old. So I think this is very applicable and relatable to your position in life right now. So let's jump in. And the first thing I want to challenge you with on this graduation Sunday is to stick to your beliefs and stick to your convictions. But before we read, let me summarize where we are in the story of Joseph so we can have some context. So Joseph grew up in Canaan. He had 11 brothers. They didn't necessarily like him because his father showed him favoritism towards him, and also because he would tell them dreams about them bowing down to him. So one day Joseph goes out into the fields and the pasture to see his brothers, and they say, oh, here he comes, let's kill him. Reuben thankfully stepped up and said, no, let's not kill him, let's just throw him into this old pit here. So that's what they did. He ends up being sold into slavery, and an Egyptian bodyguard and officer ends up buying him. So this is where we are in the story. Joseph is a servant in Potiphar in his household. So we pick up now in Genesis 39, verse 5. And this is where we are. And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house, that is Potiphar, and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. Let's jump down to verse 7. And it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? Joseph was true to his convictions and his beliefs through a difficult time. He ended up being thrown in jail for that. She got mad, told a lie about him, and he gets thrown in the dungeon. And that was a trial and a temptation in his life. But he was true to what was right, and he honored God in doing so. I want to encourage you to do the same. You already know this, but we have conversations about some of this, but living as a kingdom disciple, as a follower of Christ, and today can be a challenge. There are trials and temptations that go along with that. But I want to say how proud I am of both of you for your faith and your witness. So stick to that and don't waver from that as you move on to new horizons. So as you get out of high school, go to Berry College in Auburn, you might find yourself in situations, circumstances, or relationships, maybe even a lecture in class that tries to uproot and shake your foundation that's found in Christ. And so I want to encourage you going forward to stay true to what you know is right. You know, your family won't always be there. Your parents, your youth pastor, your church leaders won't always be there to encourage you through some of those trials and tough times. So stick to your convictions and grow in your relationship with God. All right? All right, okay, yeah. All right, second thing I want to challenge you with. So the first thing is stick to your convictions and beliefs. The second thing is to impact those around you for good. Let's fast forward in the life of Joseph. And so where we are now in Joseph's life is Potiphar's wife accuses him wrongly. So he's in jail, he's in the dungeon. He meets this cupbearer and he meets this baker who are in jail. And he ends up interpreting some dreams for them. And they end up getting out of jail. One dies and one gets restored back to his position. And Joseph says on the way out, hey, when you get out of here, remember me when you get back to, you know, to the good life. So that's where we are, and we're in Genesis 41, verses 10 through 14. Genesis 41, 10, this is the cupbearer speaking to Pharaoh. The cupbearer says, "Pharaoh was furious with his servants, and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. We had a dream on the same night, he and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now a Hebrew youth, this was Joseph, was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard. And we related to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each one he interpreted according to his own dream." And then verse 14, let's skip down. "Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon." We see in this story, this specific part of the story, and it, all throughout Joseph's life, how he impacted others. During their time in prison, he obviously made an impact on this cupbearer, because the cupbearer, he did remember him when he got out. I think folks remembered Joseph because who he was and what made up his character. And you both have a wonderful gift for this. Your interaction with others at school, through school groups, through clubs, through activities, through the church, through youth group, through mission trips, everything you go, your family, wherever you're planted, you take root and you influence others for good. Just looking at your resume, Mary Ashford, among many other wonderful things, it says you were the honor choir president and student of the year. That's obviously dealing with people. You constantly keep others in mind, and I'm reminded of each summer. You give up, you know, you get a limited amount of time in the summer, as you know, and she would give up at least half her summer to take part in mission trips and to the DR, to choir tour, and that's just a testament to your desire to invest in others. And also, a very side note from all this, she also won the state championship in lacrosse yesterday, so we need to give her credit for that. But back on topic, Maggie, I think you were the Mountain Brook High School Spartan recipient of the month for compassion in 2018 and also for respect in 2017. Those two things, compassion and respect, can't be done with other people. So that just goes to show your testimony to them. I remember on a recent ski trip we were on, you were referencing one of the students that was with us, and I remember you saying, you need to include him and treat him a little bit better because he may not feel welcome, and that's just a testament to you, so I appreciate that, and both of you. So you both have hearts for others, and this is more, rather than a challenge, this is just an exhortation. Point two is just, this is y'all, so I appreciate that, and I challenge you as someone who spent much of his college life living for himself to not do that and continue doing what you do. And let Philippians 2, verse 3 ring true in your life. It says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves." So, you're going to stick to your beliefs and convictions through trials, through problems. You're going to impact others for good. And then the last thing I want you to do is to seek God's plan for your life. Looking back at Joseph as a 17-year-old kid in Genesis 37:6, this is Joseph's story. It says, "Joseph said, 'Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf.' Then his brothers said to him, 'Are you actually going to reign over us?' And they hated him even more." Then look at Genesis 42, verse 6, fast forward about 20 years. "Now Joseph was the ruler over the land. He was the one who sowed to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him with their faces to the ground." So 20 years earlier, right, we'll never do that. 20 years later, yes, Joseph, you. So this was a testament to God's plan in his life. And it did come to pass. It took 20 plus years, but it came to pass. And we see the hand of God at work in his life through that time. Numerous times in chapter 39, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. And so you ask, well, why was he with Joseph? Because Joseph honored him and what he did. Joseph was faithful to the Lord. Even when interpreting dreams, he would be sure to give God the credit for what he was doing. So I would challenge you to continue to seek God's will in your life. So as you're seeking God's will, remember it was 20 or more years before the plan that was revealed to Joseph at age 17 came to pass. So be patient. Be patient. Proverbs 27:14, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord." So be patient. When you're seeking God's will, also be diligent. Remember, Joseph went through some ups and downs. Slavery, then, I'm in a good place working. Back to the dungeon, now I'm second in command back on top. So be diligent. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So when you're seeking God's will, be patient, be diligent, but be encouraged. Remember, God blessed Joseph and was faithful to him no matter what happened. Be encouraged. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So my final challenge is to seek God's plan for your life. As opposed to what? As opposed to your own. College is a time of learning, of fun, of new experiences. But don't put God's plan on hold for 4 years. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So around graduation time, we hear a lot, I look forward to what God will do in your life, which is very true. I look forward to that too. But God's plan is not just now starting in your life. God's plan has been going for 18 years now, and this is just a new step in that. So I thank you for letting me have the privilege for the last 4 or 5 to take part in some of that. But I look forward to what the next 18, 20 years holds. And so my parting words to you are from the Bible and the life of Joseph. Stick to your convictions and your beliefs, no matter temptation, the trial, no matter what. Impact others for good as you do so well. And never stop seeking his plan for your life, no matter how long that may take, and what that might look like. So that's my word to you as you go out. I'll turn it over to our pastor now.
You got two good messages today, and we're going to get you away on time this morning. I think that's an amazing thing. Thank you, Nathan, for challenging our young people. And you two are very special because you all were freshmen when I came to this church. And so I've got to watch you go through your high school years, and I am so proud of the young women you've become. I look so forward to hearing what God is doing with you as you continue to follow him in your college life. If I could speak a blessing of the future on you, I would speak Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God bless you. It's been a good day today in God's house, but we don't want to end the service without an invitation, an opportunity for people to respond to the message that you've heard. We have blessed our mothers, we have blessed our graduates, but most of all, we'd like to bless you by giving you an opportunity to express your faith in Jesus, to become a part of this fellowship, to answer God's call on your life. So we're going to stand together. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. If God is speaking to you this morning, you come. Let's stand together.